on Sunday, but I, for those that were looking forward to the football game tonight, first of all, a tragedy for the killings in New Orleans, and how tragic that is. Am I on here? And that's not a funny note, but many that were wanting to watch the game, and I said, oh, just come, we'll be fine, we'll have church. But I mentioned wanted to take some time to pray in the new year, and so what I'd like to do is give you a challenge tonight about the subject of prayer. And then as we close the service tonight, I want to take some time to pray individuals, as families tonight. So I want to look at this this evening. But before we get into the scripture for the spiritual stuff, all right, let's take a poll here. How many of you made it to midnight last night? You were up till midnight? Quite a few of you. All right, how many of you didn't, not even close, didn't even happen? There was a number. I talked to someone. They said, I didn't think I made it to 8:30 or 9 o'clock. That was you. Oh, man. I was going to read you a few things here. About 1 million people gather in Times Square on New Year's Eve, which takes about 7,000 officers that are on patrol during that time. The weight of the Times Square ball is about 12,000 pounds, and they drop 1.5 million tons of confetti, which they do that by hand, from what I hear. Wow, that's a lot of trash cleanup. They say you should eat 365 black-eyed peas for good luck. How many of you eat black-eyed peas today? Anyone? No one here. I think they're at home eating them right now. That's probably what they're doing. You did last year?
Yeah, because I knew I wouldn't get
any. Oh, I see. So you got it. Okay, before you left Georgia. They say you should eat 365 black-eyed peas for good luck for every day of the coming year. That's a lot of peas, which are actually beans, right? They're actually peas? I thought I heard someone say it was actually beans. I don't know. I've been lied to. They say it's the busiest night of the year for illegal celebratory gunfire. Whether it was gunfire or fireworks, man, they were lighting them off last night. They were going to town on those. And tradition, and somehow it started tradition with our family, is that the kids jump in the pool at midnight. If there's a pool around, they're jumping in the pool. I think it started as a bribe somewhere, and now they just do it out of stupidity. I'm not really sure. Like, I'm not doing that. The most popular day for car theft is New Year's Day. So check your cars real quick. New Year's Eve is the most drunken night of the year. Not surprisingly on that one. The average number of births on New Year's Day is 9,600. 9,600 births on New Year's Day. 34% of Americans make New Year's resolutions, and the second Friday in January is the most common day to give up on the New Year's resolutions, which is known as Quitter's Day. So any of you that made your New Year's resolution next Friday, we'll have to call you out on that, or just don't tell anyone, and they'll never know if you had committed to it or not. We'll be in James chapter 5, back to the spiritual part, but and again, happy New Year 2025. As I mentioned the other day, I can't believe that we are here, that the Lord has not returned, but God has given us time to do His work. And so we're going to be in James chapter 5 and verse number 13. The Bible's, I'll give you a minute to get there, sorry. James 5 and verse 13. I won't make you stand and exercise off all the holiday eating. Just don't sleep during the message, though. All right, James 5, verse number 13 says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I want to give you a challenge this evening as we have our first service for the year, and really, I believe in a way, kind of a dedication service, the beginning of the year. And I want to give you a challenge about praying in the new year. Praying in the new year. People have all kinds of New Year's resolutions, New Year's traditions, or whatever holiday traditions. As you notice, Christmas is gone up here, and decorations are put away. I don't know if I should admit it or not, but one of my favorite parts about Christmas is putting the decorations away, and that's just me. Sorry if you want to keep them up till February or 4th of July or whatever it is. But people have all kinds of resolutions and plans and traditions and all the things that they do. But as we start this year, I want to encourage you about praying in the new year and making this new year a spiritual time. And people make resolutions many times. It's about health, about going to the gym and eating right and reading more, all the things, making more money, whatever it is. But if you make New Year's resolutions, it's up to you. But to make spiritual decisions as we begin this year. So let's have a word of prayer as we begin the challenge tonight. Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight, Lord, just a few minutes this evening, not meant to be long, but to challenge about praying in this new year. And Lord, we need you this year. Lord, even in the middle of the night, Lord, the tragedy of many that were killed, and what a tragic scene, and news like that happens all over the place, that this world needs Jesus, and they need the Lord. And I pray you'd help us as Christians to be serious about our Christian race, be serious about our families, and living for God, and being faithful to you. Lord, may we dedicate this year to you. May it not be used in a selfish way for our own pleasure, but may it be used for your honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. As a young man, we would go to church, and we'd have a New Year's Eve watch night service, which we're not doing because I don't want to be here until midnight. But we'd have a watch night service, and it was a great time. But they'd have preaching, and then we'd have games and eating and all that, and we would. As the time got close to midnight, we would all gather around and we'd pray as the new year began. And literally praying as the time changed to the coming year. And I want to encourage you this as we begin this year about taking some time to pray. As we think about the coming year, about things that we plan to do, look ahead to do, but there's many blessings, there's many challenges. There's many struggles, there's many victories that we'll face this coming year, but we want to do that with the Lord. And that's important that we go through this year with the Lord. There's many people that go through their lives without God. What a sad place to be. To go through your life never knowing the Lord, not knowing you're saved and going to heaven, and just going through the struggle of life by yourself. And that is sad, but it's sad as a Christian that many times Christians go through their lives without God, trying to do it in their own strength. And so I want to just give you a few thoughts today about praying in this year and dedicating this year to the Lord. As we look at verse number 16, very familiar verse, as we look halfway down the verse, it says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This word effectual, it's working and it's active. And having an active prayer life. Effectual, that your prayer life is being put to work. It's not off on the side taking time off, but putting your prayer life to work. Taking time to pray. Is your prayer life working good or not working so good at all? You getting prayers answered or is it kind of dead? How are things going with your time with the Lord? The Bible says it's an effectual, the effectual, and then it says fervent. Fervent is faithful. It's consistent. There is some faith added to that prayer. We've all been there before where you stop to pray and it seems that there is no prayer that seems to be heard or answered, right? It seems like you're talking, but there's not a whole lot going on. It seems that something is wrong with you or God's not hearing you. But don't you want to have a prayer life that's working? To where you really believe that God is hearing your prayers, answering your prayers. It's got to be effectual, that it's working, that it's active, that you are working at your prayer time, and that it's fervent. There is some faith, there's consistency, there's some passion to your prayer time. Think about our Savior as He was in the Garden of Gethsemane and facing the cross. And as He left the disciples there and said, "Would you stop and pray with me for 1 hour?" I wonder how many times as Christians that we would stop and pray for an hour. Maybe we say, "Well, praying for an hour, I've got too much to do." But how many times do we scroll through our phones and turn on a TV and go do all the other things? But He said, "Would you stop and pray for 1 hour?" And Jesus went on further to pray, and He came back and found Him sleeping and came back again. And as the Savior was in the garden. He was praying so fervently there was great sweat drops of blood, knowing the cross was to come. But then there was the disciples that were there, and they were just sleeping. They did not see the urgency of the hour. Is there fervency to your prayer? The Bible says it should be effectual, should be fervent. And the prayer, the Bible says, of a righteous man, clean and holy in our life. That's why confession of our sin is so important, to be clean and right with God when it comes to our time of prayer, to be clean. And the Bible says that this effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, that it availeth, what's the last word? Much. Much. If you're going to invest money, I assume that you would want to receive much back, wouldn't you? If you're going to invest time into a job, I assume you'd want to get much in return from that. Whatever you're investing in, your family, your time, your job, your vehicle, whatever it is, you'd want much to return from that. And if we're going to take time to pray, our desire should be to get much in return. And I believe the key to this is having answered prayers. Answered prayers. If we're praying and there are not answered prayers because of something wrong in our life, we're not going to see the need to pray, right? There's no need to pray if we're not having answered prayers and we don't believe that God hears us. Look down in verse number 17. It says, Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elijah, he was a man just like you and me. He was a human. He was human flesh just like you and me. And we'll look at his prayer life. I think sometimes we look back at Bible characters and we think, oh, well, you know, Moses, David, you know, Joshua, Daniel, these great Christians in the Bible, and you think, wow, they did that, but I couldn't do that. God could answer their prayers, but he couldn't answer my prayers. The Bible says a man subject to like passions as we are. And then it says, and he prayed, what's the next word? Earnestly, that it might not rain. Earnestly or fervently. He prayed earnestly. He wanted to get a hold of the ear of God. Taking the time to fervently pray for God, but too many times as Christians, we come to God casually and not fervently, right? And I could put my hand up on that one as well. Too many times we come to God too casually instead of fervently, seeing the need of your prayers. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and this was in regards to wicked King Ahab. And the Bible says, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. They had what you would call a serious drought, and there was one man that was the cause of this drought, and that was Elijah. That's why all the prophets went into hiding, and the Bible says that it's 3.5 years it would not rain. And then it says again at the end, and then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. He prayed earnestly, and guess what? God heard his prayer. Isn't that the desire of a Christian, that when you pray, that God would hear your prayer? You ever go talking to someone, and they wander off, and you're like, great, I'm talking to myself. You know, you're on the phone, and then all of a sudden it hangs up, and you're like, how long have I been talking to nobody on the other side of the phone? But the great thing is, when we talk to the Lord, we're not talking to nobody. God always has time to hear the prayers of his children. And guess what? God answers prayer. God answers prayer. God answered his prayer. And then he prayed again, and God answered his prayer again. The key to the Christian life is that we would pray fervently, earnestly, expecting for God to hear our prayers, and that God will answer our prayers. As Christians, we must pray more. As Christians, we must take time to pray more. And again, as we start this year, and I know we're in the middle of the holiday season and there's a lot of out of schedule right now with family coming and going and job schedules and activities and all those things, but we must take time to pray. We must take time to pray. Number one, prayer shows your thankfulness to the Lord. Why do we need to pray? Because prayer shows your thankfulness to God. When I pray, I'm acknowledging that every good gift, every good thing I have in my life comes from God. You say, no, I worked hard for that money. Well, that job came from God. So did that paycheck and that vehicle and that house and your family, your salvation. Everything that we have came from God. Everything. So when we pray, it is showing a heart of thankfulness to God. That we would go to God and say, God, first of all, thanking God for what he's given to you and then asking God for your future needs. But many times we think that we can do it on our own and maybe we don't seem to need God. How does prayer show your thankfulness? Because prayer acknowledges that our blessings come from God. We spend a lot of time around Thanksgiving talking about being thankful. But as we start this year, and as you maybe think back to the previous year, being thankful for the blessings that God has given to you throughout this last year and throughout your life, thanking God for his blessings, thanking God for your salvation, thanking God for your family, God that you have a job. Is this cutting out on me? I think so. Should I go back to the pulpit mic? We're good? Okay. Thanking God for your job. Thanking God for your health. Thanking God for the many blessings, for your family, for your church, for the Word of God. Again, the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. May we take the time to stop and thank God for His blessings. Prayer truly shows a heart of thankfulness to the Lord. Let us not become a thankless and forgetful people. How quickly, how easy it is to be thankless and forgetful and to take what we have from God and then run off without stopping to say thank you. Again, the 10 lepers that were healed by the Lord, 9 took off and 1 came back and said, Lord, I just want to tell you, thank you. Thank you. Prayer shows your thankfulness to the Lord. Number 2, prayer shows your trust in the Lord. Prayer shows your trust in the Lord. I want to say this here. There is no need to come to God in prayer if you do not believe God will answer your prayer. There's no need to come to God in prayer if you do not believe that God will answer your prayer. If you don't believe that God can answer your prayers, then why would you take the time to come to God and pray? But if we do believe that prayer is needed, then we come to God in prayer believing that He hears and answers prayer. If we truly believe that God hears our prayers, answers prayer, that God is able and capable to answer our prayers, we will come to God in prayer. I think too many times that we lose faith, we lose hope, and we stop praying about needs. And you think, man, I've prayed about that before. I need to come back to God in prayer. I was thinking about this, about showing our faith in the Lord. Husbands, your wife ever come to you with that jar that she couldn't open and says, honey, I need you to open this jar for me. I can't open it. And as a husband, you kind of go, I got you, jar. You're mine. You get that jar and you go to open it up and you go and you try to open it. I think, Lord, you got to help me. If my wife can't open it, I've got to open it because there's no way I can give the jar back to my wife or my child and have them open it for me. And you struggle to open that jar, bang it on the counter, break it, whatever you have to do, and open it. And you give it back to your wife. She's like, oh, honey, you're so strong. Thank you for opening that jar for me. And you're like, yep, I did that. Why? Because you want her to know that if she has a need, I know a simple illustration, if she has a need, she can come to you, that you'll take care of her, right? Same thing when it comes to us with the Lord, that we come to God and say, God, I know that you're strong enough to take care of this problem that I have. I know that you're wise enough to give me direction for this decision that I have to make. I know that you can heal. I know that you can help. I know that you can save this person's soul that is lost. I know that you can do it. And when you pray to God, you come to God in prayer, believing God, and God answers prayer, that builds your trust in God. You say, well, God answered the last prayer, and we come to God again in prayer. And God answers that prayer, and you come to God again in prayer. And it continues building your faith in God. Why? Because God answers prayer, doesn't He? God answers prayers. Many times we put more faith in ourselves than we do in God, but God answers prayer. Do you have any needs in your life, any prayer needs, maybe something you've been praying for years, maybe even decades? Don't give up praying because God still answers prayer. God's answers comes in God's timing. Too many times we lose faith. We say, God, I prayed once and you didn't give it to me right away. And God said, well, keep asking. Keep asking in faith. Don't give up praying to the Lord. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I, what is it? I will answer thee. Maybe we don't like the answer that God gave us. Maybe God says no. Maybe God says wait. Maybe God says, pray for something different. But God says, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. As we begin this year, you have needs. You have prayer needs like everybody else with your family, maybe personally. Keep these needs before the Lord in prayer. Psalms 37 verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust in the Lord. You know that God always takes care of His children? Did you know that? You say, no, because there's things that happened to me. So God allowed that to happen, but God helped you to get through that though as well, right? God always takes care of His children. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth what? Much. Not little. Not sometimes it availeth. It brings much when we pray before the Lord. Your prayer shows your thankfulness to the Lord. It shows your trust in the Lord. But your prayer also shows your desire for the Lord. Your desire for God. Do you have a desire to spend time with God? You know this, that your Heavenly Father always has a desire to spend time with you. Your Heavenly Father always has time for you. He always wants to spend time with His children. Always does. And He's waiting for His children to come back to Him, to spend time with Him. And it shows the desire of our hearts, that we would draw nigh to God, that we would come to spend time with the Lord. You have a desire to spend time with God. You know, you realize this, what we desire, what we enjoy, we make time for, don't we? What I desire, it seems that we find the time for it. We find the money for it. We find a way to get to the things that we really enjoy and the things that we love, don't we? And so in turn, how is your desire for the Lord? You say, man, maybe I didn't have a great time of Bible time and prayer time with the Lord this last year. There's a heart problem there. There's a heart problem. I know this, that the longer I get away from God in my Bible and prayer time, the less of a desire I have to spend time with God. But the more that you spend time with God in His Word, and the more time you spend time in prayer, the more of a desire you have for God and His Word as well. You notice that? God gives you a desire the more you spend time with Him. You ever have that day where you wake up and think, I don't want to read my Bible today. I don't really feel like praying right now. Wake up with a bad attitude, things going on, whatever it is. You say, no, but I need to. I need to spend time with God. And you stop and spend time in your Bible and prayer. That shows God that you have a desire to have a relationship with Him. God desired to come and to save us, didn't He? He didn't save us to say, I'll see you in eternity, but don't talk to me. Don't spend time with me. God said, I want to spend time with you. Why? Because you're my child. I want to be with you. I want to spend time with you. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. As we start this year, may we start this year having a time of prayer. I don't know about you, as you, again, ended the year or start this year. Again, maybe you have plans for this coming year. May we have a desire and a plan to spend time with God. May we never get too busy for the Lord. We live busy lives, on the go, all the time. People that ever come to America from other countries, especially our missionaries that we have more interaction with as they come and visit, and they say when they come back, one of the biggest things that's a shock to them is how busy Americans are. How busy, just the pace of life is just go, 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 go. And as a Christian, we've got to hit that pause button and say everything else is going to have to wait, because it's time to spend time with the Lord. You have things coming up this year. Pray for wisdom. You have health battles maybe you're facing. Pray for God's healing. You have lost loved ones. Be praying for them. I was talking to someone today just praying for one of their relatives that's not saved. Don't give up praying. Prayer is an essential key and a part to the Christian life that, again, many times is left out. It's that part of the Christian life that many times others never see and is many times neglected. But if you want if you want a prayer life that avails and brings much, that's effective, you hear that God is hearing your voice and God is answering prayers, where does that come from? It's effectual. It's fervent. It's the prayer of a righteous man And the Bible says they'll avail much. Much will come from that. I don't know about you, but I don't want to waste time doing things. I was reading about it the other day, and they have a new word for the year that comes out. And I think it's the Oxford, you know, something dictionary. And the new word for this year, and I might read it at some point, the new word for this past year was brain rot. Brain rot. People doing this. Doing this. Hours and hours and just numbing their brain and their mind, just wasting their life away, doing a whole lot of nothing. As Christians, we must know that our time is short. And that there's not time to waste, that we must be looking at this new year doing much for the Lord. We're going to close in a word of prayer in a moment, but what I'd like to do is ask the ladies, if we could, to come to the instruments. We're going to have a time of prayer. Many times on our regular Wednesday night Bible study and prayer times, we take time to ask for prayer needs and pray for those as a group. But what I'd like to encourage you to do is to find someone to pray with tonight. And whether it be praying in your seat, whether it be coming to the altar, whatever time.